Vidura asked Maitreya three questions about the one about the Lord's dealing with the material world. Is he actually entangled within it as he deals? He's the creator, the controller. Is he entangled within his creation? Is he under the control of the material energy? And of course, Maitreya answered no. He also asked, Vidura also asked, how the living entity who is pure, how is he contaminated by the living, by the, how is that pure consciousness made impure? How could something that is inherently pure become impure? And finally he asked how the living entity, how is it possible for the living entity to suffer when his best friend, the all-powerful, magnanimous Supersoul, is right there with him in his heart? Just like, how is it possible for a child to be in poverty when his wealthy father is right with him? So Maitreya answered the questions. The first one, as we said, he answered by saying, no, the Lord actually has nothing to do with the material world, and his creation of the material world is not to satisfy a desire of his own, but rather it is to satisfy the desires of the living entities, the jiva, jivatma, who wish to have a sphere of activities wherein they can dominate the material world, to be the controllers, the enjoyers. So he gives them, the Lord creates a material world in which they can imagine themselves to be controllers, but rather than experiencing happiness through their attempts to enjoy and control, what do they experience? Upset stomachs. They experience this misery, that anxiety, this fear, this envy, anger, so much fear, anxiety, always thinking that the happiness is around the corner, very close, but actually the happiness never comes. And yet, the living entities in the material world, it is not that they're actually possess contaminated consciousness, but it is more like they are sleeping. And the nice, appropriate example was given, just like the moon reflects its water upon, has its reflection upon water, and the water quivers, the water moves, and it appears that the moon is moving. So similarly, due to the identification with the water or matter, even though the living entity, we are pure souls, we experience the miseries of the changes of matter. Even though the moon doesn't change, even though the soul never changes, but due to the reflection, the misidentification of the reflection as the moon or the body, and the mind is the self, the living entity in his dream, like that, he suffers. And then Maitreya concludes with the way to get out of the suffering. It is through devotional service. Anya vilasita sanyam jnana kama navrita anukulena krishnana shidram bhakti uttama. Devotional service, free from all desires to gain anything from this world, or a desire to get out of this world thinking oneself as one with the Supreme. This is all, when these are all shunyam, these are all non-existent, then the living entity can render pure devotional service. And just by hearing and chanting about the Lord, as Maitreya Muni explained, in text 14, simply by hearing and chanting of the transcendental name form etc. of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one can achieve the cessation, the stopping of unlimited miserable conditions. Because one, it is not that the water will not quiver, but no longer will one identify with the reflection of himself upon the water or himself as matter. One knows that he's Krishna's servant. So the water will quiver. Matter will always change. According to our karma, the stress and happiness will come. But when we understand Jivera Supoy Krishna Nityadas, that we are Krishna's, that we are eternal, Mamai Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutta Sanatana, that we are eternal, then as the world turns, as it changes, as it shakes, as it quivers, as it erupts, as it caves in, as it crashes, as it goes topsy-turvy, we are not affected because this is just the water. The actual moon has nothing to do with the water or its reflection upon the water. So chanting and hearing about Krishna stops this deep identification with the body. Yes. We have a little button here that we push for when we want people to sneeze. Should we turn the fan off? Okay. But long as you don't sneeze outside of cue. And then he says, what to speak of the effect of someone who actually not only just chants and hears, but gains an attraction for Krishna. An attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. So he already very clearly has nothing to do with the material world. What to speak of miseries, because he's, due to his attraction for Krishna, he's in the spiritual world. So then after answering Vidura's questions in this way, Maitreya Muni had answered them, and Vidura then says, he thanks Maitreya Muni in text 15 through 20. He says, O powerful sage, O Maitreya Muni, my Lord, all my doubts about the supreme personality of Godhead and the living entities have now been removed, because his questions were about the Lord and the living entities and their dealing. Now all my doubts have been removed by your convincing words. My mind is now perfectly entering into them. O learned sage, your explanations are very good, as they should be. Disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord. So in the example of the moon, there is the moon, there is the water, and then there is the reflection of the moon upon the water. And the parallel in that, there is the eternal soul and there is the material energy. And the reflection upon the soul, of the soul upon the material energy, that reflection will move. And because of the soul's identification with the reflection, with the body, with the false ego, therefore, he experiences that movement because of his identification in that way. So therefore, he says, now I understand disturbances to the conditioned soul have no other basis than the movement of the external energy of the Lord. It is always changing. What is good one day is bad the next. There is happiness, there is misery. It just keeps on coming and going. Matra spashas dakantya sitosna sukha dukadaha agama payano anityas. Krishna tells Arjuna, they come, the happiness and distresses, they come like the coming and going of the winter and summer season. Therefore, tams detikshas vibharita. You have to learn to tolerate this. And then an interesting verse, he says. So who does not experience the miseries of the material world? Two kinds of people. Both the lowest of fools, this is text 17, both the lowest of fools and he who is transcendental to all intelligence enjoys happiness. Whereas persons between them suffer the material pangs. In other words, those who are so absorbed in the reflection, foolish people, they don't even know they're absorbed in the reflection. They don't have the experience of misery. They just have the experience of the up and down. And they think that is existence, so they don't suffer. And then the Paramhansa, or the great exalted personalities who don't identify with the reflection of themselves, who are free from false ego, they don't suffer. But everyone in between, one who is conscious and doesn't wish to suffer, but yet is not beyond suffering through spiritual realization, he suffers greatly. So Prabhupada's purport, we'll read that. The lowest of fools do not understand material misery. They pass their lives merrily and do not inquire into the miseries of life. Such persons are almost on the level of animals, who, although in the eyes of superiors are always miserable in life, they are unaware of material distress. A hog's life is degraded in its standard of happiness, which entails living in a filthy place, engaging in sex enjoyment at every opportune moment, and laboring hard in a struggle for existence. But this is unknown to the hog. He's not aware of his own misery. Similarly, human beings who are unaware of the miseries of material existence are happy in sex life and hard labor. They are the lowest of fools. Just like animals. No consciousness of birth, janma, death, mrityu, jara, vyadi, old age, disease. No consciousness of this even. It's like an animal. The other class of men, different from them, those who are liberated and are situated in the transcendental position above intelligence, material intelligence, are really happy. And they are called Paramhamsas. But persons who are neither like hogs and dogs nor on the level of the Paramhamsa, they feel the material pangs. And for them, being aware of their suffering, they inquiry about the supreme truth is necessary because they want to get out. They don't want to cover themselves further. The Vedanta Sutra states, Atato Brahmagigyasa. Now, one should inquire about Brahman. This inquiry is necessary for those who are between the Paramhamsas and the fools who have forgotten the question of self-realization in the midst of a life in sense gratification. Very interesting point. And then in text 18, Vidura continues, but my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance. Although it appears to be real, it is just a reflection. I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, the Sanskrit word is Bhagavata, which literally means of the Supreme Lord. So a devotee, an exalted devotee, he is of Krishna. He is coming from Krishna. He belongs to Krishna and Krishna belongs to him. So by serving the feet of the Bhagavata, and all such Bhagavatas are spiritual masters, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead. This is the process. Shushusho Sharadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan matsavya vipro punatiyutana sevanat. Because by serving the devotees, one gets a taste for what they have. And by virtue of that taste, and that means that desire, they want that thing, and therefore Krishna reciprocates with them. And therefore, as the verse said in the last verse, that, or a few verses ago, that not only do they experience detachment from misery, people who have attraction for Krishna, they experience so much more than that. They actually will go back to the spiritual world. So, for one who does that, serves the spiritual master, the Bhagavat, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead. They come to the platform of bhava ecstasy. Ratti raso bhavetivra. They gain attachment to Krishna. And they develop attachment to Krishna, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Maru demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distress. So it is required that one becomes a servant of the devotees, Prabhupada explains in the purport. The sufferings of the conditioned soul are superficial, and they have no intrinsic natural value, like the cutting off of one's head in a dream. The pure soul cannot suffer. We spoke about this yesterday, any more than one can see his own head cut off in a dream. Yet although the statement is theoretically very true, it is very difficult for the common man or the neophyte on the transcendental path to realize practically. However, by serving the feet of great transcendentalists like Maitreya Muni, and by constantly associating with them, one is enabled to give up the false idea that the soul suffers from material pangs. Because one's taste changes. One's consciousness changes. One's taste changes. One's desires change. It means one's consciousness has changed. So after saying this, one, how important the service of the devotees is, one may wish to understand how one can get that association with such devotees, whose service will free us from the material world. So text 20 explains, persons whose austerity is meager, alpatapasa, whose austerity is small, little, can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead, the Vaikunthas. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of the demigods and the controller of all living beings. That's what they do. This is who they are. They engage. They are anyabilasita sanyam gyana kamaravana navrita anukulena krishna nasidhanam bhakti uttamam. They're always engaged in Krishna's service, and one gets their association by having a special kind of punya or piety, bhakti punya. This is sukriti. This is very rare to get this in this world. So after describing, he comes to the point, Vidura comes to the point, because he's just experienced the potency of association with Maitreya Muni. And of course he's teaching us, because he himself is a great devotee. He's just experienced this. So therefore he's glorifying the potency and his good fortune in having the association of Maitreya. And then he begins to ask further questions. And in 21, 22, 23 he begins. He explains something, reiterates, explains again what he has previously heard. After creating the total material energy, who has created the total material energy? the Lord. Which is the Mahatattva, and thereby manifesting the gigantic universal form with senses and sense organs. We heard about this from the last chapter. The Supreme Lord entered into it. So how does he enter into it? The material nature? In so many ways, in three different levels. On the first level, as Karanadakshay Vishnu, he glances, his glance enters the Pradhan or the Mahatattva. And then, as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, after universes emanate from the skin of Karanadakshay Vishnu, from the skin pores, then he enters each universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then this universal form is born. The universal form comes, and we heard in the last chapter how the universal form is more or less, is the precursor. It is required prior to the actual creation of the universe, because the demigods could not create the universe. They prayed to the Lord, and then and in response to their prayer, he manifested the universal form, and then he entered into it. So, in what form does the Lord enter into the universe? He enters in Garbhadakshay Vishnu, but then he enters into each and every of the material elements and into the heart of every living entity as Kiradakshay Vishnu, the third of the Purusha avatars, or the Paramatmas of the world. So then he says, the Purusha avatars lying on the causal ocean is called the original Purusha in the material creation. And in his Varata form, in whom all the planets and the inhabitants live, he has many thousands of legs and hands. So this, practically speaking, is how the Lord, he is like the soul of the universe, the super soul of the universe in this form. So now he begins asking questions. This is an inquisitive student who has heard many times, heard very well, and that intrigues him. He wants to hear more. So he said, O great Brahmana, you have told me that the gigantic Varata form and his senses, sense objects, and 10 kinds of life air exist with the 3 types of life vigor. Now, if you'll kindly explain to me the different powers of the specific divisions, that means there are so many different kinds of living entities. And he has described how the head is the Brahmanas, the arms are the Kshatriyas, the belly, the waist is the Vaishyas, and the legs are the Sudras. So he's asking what power enters into these different Varnas, these different divisions of Varnas. And then he explains he'll ask many, many questions, how the different population spreads all over the universe in the varieties of species. Then he says how the Brahma established the various Manus and the heads of the sages. So this will be explained in the succeeding chapters and the descendants of those Manus. And actually the third canto, the fourth canto, and the fifth canto, and even the sixth canto describe the different descendants of Swayambhuva Manu. So all this will be answered in time. And then he says, how are the planets situated above the earth as well as underneath it? So that will be answered in the fifth canto. And also mention the measurement as well, the measurement of the planets, as well as those of the earthly planets. So that will also be described in the fifth canto. Also, please describe the living beings under different classifications, subhumans, humans, those born of the embryos, the birds. So the different species will also be explained. Then also explain the different guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, or Lord Shiva, and how they work, and the way that the Lord incarnates within the universe. And then in text 29, so he's asking many, many questions. O great sage, kindly describe the divisions and order of human society in terms of the symptoms, vanashrama vibhagasa, the divisions and orders of human society in terms of the symptoms, behavior, and the characteristics of mental equilibrium and sense control. So what are the different characteristics of those in the different vanas? Please also describe the expansion of different sacrifices and different other paths, such as mystic yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti, and also the regulations in each one of those. Now this is an interesting one that he asks about. Please also describe the imperfections and contradictions of the faithless atheists, the situation of crossbreeding. Crossbreeding means when you take a person with one characteristic and they marry someone who has a different vana or a different nature, what happens as a result of that? And the movement of the living entities in various species of life according to the particular modes of nature of work. So this concept of how what your consciousness is like, which is what one's nature is, what one's karma is, that affects exactly how we see the world. So a devotee will see the world in one way, an atheist will look at the same thing and see it in exactly the opposite way. A good man will see one thing, a passionate man will see another, an impious man will see in one way, and no two people ultimately will agree about anything. There was one Gurukula teacher that I know that he wanted to teach his, he had some teenage students and he wanted to teach them this point. So he arranged some friends. He made an arrangement with one of the boys and their fathers. So one of the boys was standing there and his father drove up. They were acting. It was all like a drama. So the father drove up in his car and he was very angry and he started yelling at the boy, saying something or another, and said, "Get in the car, I'm taking you out of here immediately." And he took the boy and pushed him into the car and then drove away. Then the teacher walked up and said, "What happened?" Because he wasn't there at that time. He said, "What happened?" So one boy said, "Well, blah, 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 this happened." And another boy said, "No, no, no, this happened." Another boy said, "This happened." Another boy said, "This happened." And no one could agree, actually, on what happened. And then, actually, what happened, there was a drama going on. And no one actually had understood that anyway. Because according to one's mind, the world is seen completely differently. Same world. It means that our illusions are all different. This is what it means. That the modes of nature that control us are all different. One person will laugh at somebody's jokes. Another person thinks the same jokes aren't funny at all. One person thinks it's the funniest thing he's heard in his life. So the different species of life, they all come with a particular consciousness. And that allows them to see the world in a different way. 32. You may also describe the non-contradictory causes of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation, and also the different means of livelihood and different processes of law and order as mentioned in the revealed scriptures. What Prabhupada means by the non-contradictory causes of religiosity is that if one wants to act in a religious way, one wants to act, one's activities shouldn't bring any contradictory results to his religiousness. So that means that it's going to occur according to the scriptures. So he's asking to describe this in 33. the regulations for offering respect to the forefathers of Pitriloka, etc. Please describe fruitive activities, charity, and penance. Please describe what a man is allowed to do when he's away from home, what he's not allowed to do, and the duty of a man who is in a difficult or awkward situation. And then in text 35, O sinless one, because the personality of Godhead, the controller of all living entities, is the father of all religion, and all those who are candidates for religious activities, kindly describe how he can be completely satisfied. How can we satisfy Krishna? Prabhupada explains in the purport. All religious activities are meant ultimately to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the father of all religious principles. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7:16, four kinds of pious men, the needy, the distressed, the enlightened, and the inquisitive, they approach the Lord in devotional service. And their devotion is mixed with material affection. But above them are the pure devotees, whose devotion is not tainted by any material tinge of fruitive work or speculative knowledge. Those who are only miscreants throughout their lives are compared to demons. They are bereft of all knowledge in spite of academic education, career they may pursue. Such miscreants are never candidates for satisfying the Lord. So those who are pure, those who are aspiring to be pure, and those who have no ability to be pure, practically speaking, they have no ability to become pure. They are called here miscreants, duskritina. Mayaya apita jnanam. Namudhas, naradamas. Like that. Oh, best amongst the brahmanas. So he's going to request. Now he's asked so many questions. Then he says, those who are spiritual masters are very kind to the needy. They're always kind to their followers, disciples, and sons. And without being asked by them, the spiritual master describes all that is knowledge. In other words, he's saying, please, even if I have neglected to ask you about something, please tell me the answer to that anyway. Don't be limited by your speaking to what I have asked you. Speak about what I need to hear as well. Then describe all the different dissolutions. This will be described later on in the third canto. The different dissolutions in the universe. And then, interesting, please describe how many dissolutions there are for the elements of material nature and describe who survives after the dissolutions to serve the Lord while he's asleep. Because the Lord, when the material world is unmanifest, when it's avyakta, the Lord is still there and living entities serve the Lord. So who does this? What kind of living entities serve the Lord when he is resting? And wake him up. So Prabhupada in his purport uses this point to show that when the material existence is no longer manifest, there are souls who are manifest and they are persons. So it is not that one who is liberated from matter loses his personality. It is not that. So Prabhupada makes that point by this verse, by asking the question. He's making the point to defeat the Mayavad concept that when one is liberated from matter, when one has nothing to do with matter, because at this point, matter is wound up inside the Lord. There is no matter in existence. So therefore, even though there is no matter in existence, individuals exist and they serve the Lord. So they are serving the Lord in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan, they are serving the Lord even in this, they are reciting prayers to him even in this universe. And then in 38, some more questions. What are the truths regarding the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What are their identities? What are the specific values of the values in the knowledge of the Vedas? And what are the necessities for the spiritual master and disciple? And Prabhupada explains in his purport. The living entities are constitutionally servitors of the Lord, who can accept all kinds of service from everyone. It is clearly declared that the Lord is the supreme enjoyer of the benefits of all sacrifices and penances, the proprietor of all that is manifested, and the friend of all living entities. That is his real identity. Therefore, when the living entity accepts this supreme proprietorship of the Lord and acts in that attitude, he resumes his real identity. In order to elevate the living entity to this standard of knowledge, there is the necessity of spiritual association. The bona fide spiritual master desires his disciples know the process of rendering transcendental service to the Lord, and the disciples also know that they have to learn about the eternal relationship between God and the living entities from a self-realized soul. To disseminate transcendental knowledge, one must retire from mundane activities on the strength of enlightenment in knowledge in terms of Vedic wisdom. That is the sum and substance of the questions in this verse. And then the last several verses, we'll read just the verses and a little bit from the purports. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? My dear sage, I have put all these questions before you with a view to knowing the pastimes of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the friend of all. So kindly describe them for all. So kindly describe them, the pastimes of Lord Hari, for all those who have lost their vision. O spotless one, your answers to all these questions will grant immunity from all material miseries. Such charity is greater than all Vedic charities, sacrifice, penances, etc. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus the chief of the sages, who was always enthusiastic about describing topics regarding the personality of Godhead, began to narrate the descriptive explanations of the Puranas, being so infused by Vidura. He was very much enlivened by speaking on the transcendental activities of the Lord. So this, he has begged, Vidura has begged Maitreya to speak and answer these questions because he knows that the effect of hearing the sage's answers will be so elevating to his own consciousness. And indeed, he says that this is the real charity that one can distribute in this world. This is also said by the gopis themselves. Tava kitam ritam tapta jivanam kaviriditam kalma sappaham. This means that they say to Krishna, the gopis say to Krishna, tava kitam ritam tapta jivanam. That your kata, the words about you, this is amrita. It is like nectar, and it gives life to the jivas, to the souls. Shravana mangalam, srimaratatam. They are very auspicious. They are all auspicious. And kamasapa means they destroy sins. Just hearing them destroys the sins of a person who hears the glories of Krishna, because we are in this world not wishing to place Krishna in the center of our life. Bhuvi gvanantiye buddhida janaha. That one who distributes this Kata Amrita, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, of Krishna's activities, he is actually the greatest welfare worker in this world. Because if you give somebody some money, tomorrow he needs more money. If you give him food, tomorrow he needs more food. But if you give him that thing that is going to make him eternal, you solved all his problems. So he's speaking here about the position of Maitreya Muni and begging him to solve his problems by pouring upon him this nectar of Krishna. Prabhupada explains in the purport, at the end of the purport to 39, he says, pure devotees have prepared many books of knowledge on the basis of authorized scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami and his assistants, under the instructions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have all written various literatures for the guidance of prospective devotees. And anyone who is very serious about raising himself to the standard of a pure devotee of the Lord must take advantage of these literatures. Prabhupada explains in the next purport. Vidura put forward many varieties of questions with a view to understanding the principles of transcendental loving service to the Lord. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, devotional service to the Lord is one, and the mind of the devotee is not diverted to the many branches of uncertainties. Vidura's purpose was to be situated in that service of the Lord where one merges indivertedly. He claimed the friendship of Maitreya Muni, not because he was Maitreya's son, but because Maitreya was actually the friend of all who have lost their spiritual vision due to material influence. So we will also get the mercy of Maitreya Muni by hearing this, by hearing his words. And finally, in the next to last, Prabhupada's purport in the next to last verse. The highest perfectional work of charity is to give people in general immunity from the anxieties of material existence. And this is actually the business of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, to preach. Prabhupada said, without preaching, the institution becomes rubbish. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he who has life, he can preach spiritual life. And if one doesn't preach, one will not be able to stay above the material energy or climb out above the material energy. And this is the highest of charity work. Krishna himself has explained this at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Paramakritva. This is the greatest work. This can be done only by performing activities in devotional service to the Lord, meaning freedom from material existence. Such knowledge is incomparable. Cultivation of the knowledge of the Vedas, performance of sacrifice and distribution of munificent charities altogether cannot form even a part of the immunity from the pangs of material existence that is gained from devotional service. The charity of Maitreya will not only help Vidura, but due to its universal nature, it will deliver all others in all times. Thus, Maitreya is immortal. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Maitreya Muni Vidura ki jai. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Types of people who are trying to attain the pure devotees, sort of trying to attain purity and miscreants, who don't have a chance to become pure.
Yes.
I was just wondering, why do these miscreants end up with the human body?
They don't have a chance. They have a chance if they gain the proper association, then anyone will have a chance. There's two reasons. Looking at it ultimately, we have a material body or in the material world because Krishna wants to give us an opportunity to get out, and the human form of life is an opportunity to get out if we use our freedom properly. But if we notice, most people don't have the slightest inclination that life's purpose is anything but enjoyment. So the material world and the material body and the human body is a facility given to them by Krishna to fulfill their material desires as well. But it's also simultaneously an opportunity to get out. But people don't want that opportunity. And the devotee's mission on behalf of Krishna is to somehow or another, as the material world is kicking them and pushing them and smashing them and crushing them, to say, hey, you know why this is happening? You think it's only happening to you? No. It's inevitable if you're in the material world because you don't belong here. You're an eternal soul. Get out. Wake up, wake up. Jeev jago, jeev jago. Gora chanda bole. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Thanks.